from Radharasudaniti, Prabodhananda Saraswati is describing in verse 110 about a feature of love and separation. There's Purva Rag and Man, Prem Vaichitya, Pravasa Rag, different degrees of intensity of feeling separation from Krishna and Krishna feeling separated from his beloveds. So yesterday, this verse is about Man, which is the type of mood that Krishna creates by his behavior. Radharani exhibits Man for the pleasure of Krishna, to increase his attraction and his pleasure and love, Madhurya Ras. So sometimes she get Man means a sulky mood, a pouting, contrary mood where Krishna approaches her or wants to be with her, dance, whatever, associate. And she said, no, I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. And why does she do that? Because when he appears sometimes to meet Radharani in the Kunjas, Jairada Madhava Kunjavihari. Kunjavihari Sham comes to the groves, forest groves on the bank of the Yamuna or Govardhan to meet privately, confidentially with Radharani and the Sakis. Then he comes sometimes at sunrise, and he comes with the obvious marks. So he shows, Krishna is showing the obvious marks on his face and lips, eyes, body, etc., that he's already previously enjoyed with a Vipaksha Sakhi, with a rival Sakhi, one of Radharani's arch rivals like Padma, Shaibya, or the dreaded, dare we say it, but the dreaded Chandravali, the chief of the anti-party. Interesting, she's actually Radharani's sister. So we see in this world sometimes sisters are arch enemies. Do you have any like that? Not rarely, but it happens. And how so? How does Chandravali become Radharani's sister? Because her father's brother, Vrishabhanu Maharaj's brother, is Chandrabhanu. Chandrabhanu, which is an interesting combination. Chandra means moon, and Bhanu means sun. Chandrabhanu. So Chandrabhanu's daughter is Chandravali. So they become, in the West it's called cousins, but in India it's called sisters. And they're as near and dear as practically your own blood, what we say, blood sister. And they're born in the same time and the same day and all these things, and nearby each other. So this is the situation. So not clear who he was with, but he was. So then Radharani was showing a contrary mood. And the Mantris are trying to plead on Krishna's behalf for Radharani to abandon her Man and to become favorably turned towards Krishna, become favorable towards Krishna. And she's very firmly resisting. She doesn't want to surrender. As you all know, it's very difficult to surrender to Krishna. We're finding great difficulty in surrendering to Krishna. We're trying for lifetimes, never quite make it. And she doesn't want to surrender to Krishna either. She's the original devotee. So Krishna is trying to get her to surrender. He's saying, don't you know, yeyatam mam prapadyante. Radharani, yeyatam mam prapadyante tamta taiva bhajamyam. Listen, Radharani, if you surrender unto me, I'll reward you accordingly. She says, listen, you use that line on Arjuna. Don't try to use it here. Come up with some new lines, will you? That's old repertoire. So it doesn't work. Then he tries to make faces to break her Man Bhanga, funny faces. And she goes, she makes this good turn. All of his effort, all of his intense energetic output to create some attraction or some humor and break her Man, she just passes the whole display off by saying, oh. then he takes off his puggri, puts it at her feet, and she kicks it away. He says, gee, I gave my hat, my crown, my turban, puggri. I wouldn't give that to anyone. Even if someone touched it, I would fight them. So this is, she has this impenetrable fortress of resistance surrounding her, which Krishna cannot find the ways and means to storm the palace gate. So he's ejected from the kunj with rather embarrassment. And then there's some mandris outside and Kinkari's maidservants, Pransakis and Radharani. So he takes shelter of them and says, listen, can you plead my case and tell Radharani how great I am and I'm really deserving of her mercy, merciful glance, Radhakripa Kataksha. So then Prabhupada Saraswati, Tungavidya Sakhi, apparently has a multiple sarup, also has a rupa as a Kinkari, Pransakhi. So then, this is a summary of yesterday for my friends. So she goes, and this Kinkari maidservant goes in to meet Radharani, and she says, listen, I don't think you understand who you're dealing with. That actually you think he's a gallant, he's a lumpat, and it's true. And you think he's a proud prince, he's a proud prince, he's a proud prince. His father's the king of Braj. Nandan Nandan. And you think he's dear Lalita, carefree and funny, and yes, you're right. But let me, and you think he's not surrendering anything, and you've given up everything. Lajadharma, Stri Dharma, Patni Dharma, Kula Dharma, Varna Dharma, name, fame, shame, you've given up everything to run into the forest at midnight, your husband's stopping you. Where are you going? Get out of the way! I'm going! Gone! Another night, not here. Hi, Bhagavan, Bhagavan, Vishnu, Vishnu. When will I ever see my wife? So all the coward men are crying all night long. Where's my wife? So this is a problem for them, but not for the gopis. So that nothing can stop them. There's no dam that can break that Ganga, no dam that can hold that forceful Ganga, the river of their pure love for Krishna. This breaks through everything. No obstacle. No excuses, no obstacle. Well, I would become a devotee, but this, that, but, blah, 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 blah. But there's no buts for them. They no buttresses. They break through everything. And then, so then they think, well, this Krishna, he doesn't have any mother-in-law. They're really hard to deal with. And his mother and father are sleeping. They're old people. They sleep early. His mother was 79 when he was born. His father was 89. So they sleep. So they went to bed early, 7 o'clock or something, like little kids. And so it's easy to escape the house at 10 o'clock at night when you want to run out for the rasa dance. They're off and deep in the dreamland. What's the problem? There's nobody stopping. Where you stop, halt, where you going? Gyakure, this, that. And he's not married. He's not married. So there's no question of pati dharma or patni dharma. He's not even married. And what is the question of dharma for him anyway? No one knows, is he a kshatriya, is he a coward man, or what is he? One place he's a kshatriya, other place he's a coward man. Another place he's a thief, another place he's a liar. Stealing butter, stealing saris. I mean, we can't really put your finger on who he is or what he is, or even what his dharma is. Because you can't place him anywhere, because you have to be placed somewhere so you have a dharma. Yes, you're a vaishya, so then you have varna dharma. Vaishya, varna dharma. No, you're a kshatriya, so you have kshatriya, varna, dharma. But where is he? And okay, you have to play, he's in an ashram. Brahmachari, dharma, rules and regulation of brahmachari. Sannyas, grihas, manapras. What is he? Is he a brahmachari? And Lalita says, yeah. Gopal Tapani Upanishad says he's a brahmachari. Brahmachari, brahmachari yohi or something like that. Krishna's two brahmachari. This is in Gopal Tapani Upanishad. The Upanishads say he's a brahmachari. You believe the Upanishads, Lalita? Well, we're supposed to. They're Vedic and we're Hindus, aren't we? No such word as Hindu in those days, but we're Sanatan Dharmas. So that since he's a brahmachari, okay, but really we don't know what he is. He's not a brahmachari. He's a grihastha? No. Is he vanaprastha? No. Sannyas? Sannyas? Are? Don't even bring it up. So he has no varna, no ashram. If you have no varna, no ashram, how is there any dharma? There's no. So he hasn't given up any dharma to come see us. That's Radharani's contention and her argument. So the Kinkri is up against stiff competition here. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So Radharani has this opinion that he hasn't given up anything. And Prabhupada Saraswati is saying that this Kinkari is pleading with Radharani, but don't you understand? Don't you see? Can't you see? Let me open your eyes. Shastra Chakshush. Let me be your guru, Radharani, and show you that he's given up just as much as you have. So that's why the verse says, Ito bayam itastra pa kulam ito yasha shvir ito. Henast yakila shrinkalam api sakinivasa tvaya. Sakinivas tvaya. Sakinivas means to live with you. Saki is plural, so it means to live with all the sakis. Someone says, Krishna, where's your house? Nivas means house. Radha Nivas means house. My residence, my domicile, my house, my nivas is with the sakis. Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Prem Gali, Saki Nivas, Vrindavan, District Mathura. That's his address. So, his house is Saki Nivas. Where is that Saki Nivas? Well, he has 16,108 houses because he lives with every gopi. But the implication is here, the intended meaning by this Manjari, Kinkari group here, she's saying, listen, Saki Nivas Twaya, because she says Saki Nivas Twaya means he lives with the Sakis. Yes, he lives with all the Sakis. He expands in his Prakash Roop to be with all the Sakis. But in his Swayam Roop, he's Saki Nivas Twaya. Twaya means with you. You're that Saki, although Saki's plural. So on one level, it includes all the Sakis. But then when he said Twaya, means amongst all those Sakis, Nivas, you are that one among the many. You're number one, number uno, uno, numero uno. The Mukhya Saki. The chief queen, Mukhya, primary. And all the Shastras proclaim the same thing. Among all the gopis, there's eight gopis that are primary. And those are including some from Chandravali's party and some from Radharani's party. It's not the Ashasakis, that's a different consideration. But in the Puranas, all the Puranic literature is said of all the thousands of gopis, eight are chief. Lalita Vrata, Lalita Vishaka, Chitra, Shaivya, Chandravali, Padma, etc. Some from the Radha's party and some from Congress I, some from BJP. Two parties are represented there. And then the next verse in the same Purana says, but among all these eight special ones from the two sides, Paksha, Vipaksha, the two best are Chandravali and Radharani. And of these two, the world champion, all-time winner is Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Shri, Jai Shri, Jai Shri. Shri Kunda Ki Jai. Krishna Kunda Ki Jai. Shri Krishna Kunda Ki Jai. We say Radha Kund, Shama Kund. Kundavasis, Brijavasis live here. They don't say Radha Kund, Shama Kund. They say Radharani. Did you bathe in Radharani today? Did you have darshan of Radharani today? Did you take prakrama of Radharani today? This is their speech. This is their bhav. This is their thinking. This is their vichara. Shama Kund. Radha Kund. Sangam. They meet. I only see Radha Kund. Shama Kund? There's a Shama Kund? they don't see Radha Kund. I'm saying they see Radharani. I tell this story a few times. To clearly understand the depth of their bhav and their raganugya outlook and life. And Prabhupada said in one purport, he said, don't try to understand the Vrijavasis, don't mix up with them. They're all on the platform of raganuga bhakti. So this is a situation that this Kinkri's telling Radharani that, actually, let me explain. He's given up everything. He's given up his fear. He's given up his shyness. He gave up his family, also his fame and all his opulences to risk everything to come to meet you. So as you're Sarvadharman Pratyaja, Krishna is also Sarvadharman Pratyaja. You gave up all dharma to come to Krishna. Krishna gave up all dharma to come to you. So Radharani is saying, "Acha, I didn't think about that." So we explained all that yesterday, and we're discussing this in the second line, Sakhi Nivasas Twaya. So this phrase, Sakhi Nivas, as we already heard, means to live amongst the Sakhis. And I was mentioning that these various verses of Radharas Sudaniti, there's so much tattva here and lila and power, prabhav, creates wonderful and beautiful bhakti sanskaras in our consciousness, which are so sweet and so powerful that they eventually erase and remove all the materialistic samskaras and desires to enjoy material energy in our senses and body. And that's how the power of just hearing these wonderfully intimate discussions, just as a passive, non-offensive, believing devotee who reads such wonderful books, it'll have such a tremendous effect. And then depending on the advancement of one's consciousness, it'll have different effects. A very advanced devotee will read verses like this and experience sattvic vikar, bhav, symptoms of bhakti ras. He'll relish bhakti ras, which will transport his mind into intense levels of ecstasy, which will reverberate and express themselves through his physical body with various externally visible or internally perceivable ecstatic symptoms, trembling, crying, hair standing, and etc. This phrase, Sakhi Nivasas Twaya, means that this Krishna is surrounded by many gopis. He lives with amongst the gopis. And I was explaining that these verses are actually glorifying some different qualities. Many of the lines in the verses will bring out and remind one of the 25 primary qualities of Radharani, which are mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So this particular one is quality number 23, where it says, this quality here, 23, it says, Sakhi Pranayata Vasha. The Sakhis control Radharani by their pranaya. Radharani is always obliged by the dealing. No, excuse me. The Sakhis, yes. Radharani is always obliged by the dealings of her associates. And it means that Radharani is very submissive to the love of her friends. So this means that the Sakhis control Radharani by their pranaya, which means the intense love they have for her. And this means how they control her, because Radharani is submissive to the love of her girlfriends. By this phrase that we heard, Sakhi Nivasas Twaya, then the Kinkri or Manjari is showing her expertise. This clever maidservant has found a means by appealing to Radha's affection for her Sakhis to break Radha's ahoituki man. There's no cause why she's doing it. Radha's sulky, contrary mood. And then when she gives up that man, she can once again unite with her beloved Shyam, and they can enjoy blissful pastimes of love. Ashtasakhi Shiromani Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. So she's presenting, it's a sequence. When one is arguing or trying to convince someone of a point, then they will go from the lowest point to the highest point. A lower argument of conviction, they may work with that. If that lower argument doesn't work, then they'll go to a higher argument from another point. If you study the Bhagavad Gita, you see how Krishna is using this technique and convincing Arjuna to pick up his Gandiva, Danu, and fight. So first he's saying, we're not the body, and old people, when one has an old body, he has to give it up and get a new one. So these are all Bhishma, these are all old people, and they have to give up their body anyway. So let them give up their body at the end of your arrows, because they're going to die anyway, and then they'll get a new body and a fresh start and be healthy again. And then by virtue of that Kshatriya Dharma of dying on the battlefield and for a good cause, then they get Swarga Mukti. And then he tried that argument, and Arjuna wasn't too much moved by that. And then he said, he argued on the basis of Pratishtha. He said, you're a Kshatriya. You come from an illustrious dynasty of Kunti. Arjuna, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. If you run away from the battlefield, you'll be dishonored. And the Pandu will be dishonored. Kunti will be dishonored. And your brothers. How can you let them down? What about your reputation? This is a type of argument. So he argued on the basis of reputation. It's called Pratishtha. It's prestige. Do you know who you are? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's not just me. I'm not just an independent Kshatriya, but I'm connected to an illustrious dynasty. And I'm representing not just me, but I'm representing my forefathers and ancestors, all great Kshatriyas. So if I run away, then I'll get a bad name. Ah, the Pandavas are chickens. They run away from the battlefield. They're cowards. Arjuna put his tail between his legs, woo, woo, woo. Ran away, dropped his sword, sweating, panting, running away. What kind of Kshatriya is he? What kind of bloodline is that? The descendants of that bloodline, they run away like coyotes when a lion roars. Or jackals when a lion roars. Ah, hoo, hoo, hoo. And they run away. So then that inspired them a little bit, actually. So this is what the Sakhi is doing. Of course, it's not Kurukshetra. It's a battle of eros, a battle of love, so to speak. And Radharani's winning. And Krishna is losing, and he wants to win the hand of Radharani and her association again. So the Kinkari is trying to turn the tide and let Krishna win Radharani. So she starts arguing by saying, as we said, ito bayam itastrapa kulam ito yasha. So listen, he gave up bayam, he gave up fear. He's 10 years old. Well, a 10-year-old boy, if you tell a 10-year-old boy that you have a son, a little too small, you tell a 10-year-old boy, oh, please, you know, tonight at 12 o'clock, I want you to run into that forest, all right? And that, don't worry, that forest is full of tigers and bears and lions. And a little kid like you, they can open their mouth and throw you in at one gulp. But don't be afraid. And there's snakes and cobras and scorpions and boa constrictors and all kinds of wonderful friends you can find out there in the midnight. So the boy will say, yeah, that sounds like fun. Let me go. He'll be so frightened. No, I don't want to go. He'll be so much fearful. So Krishna's in Naralila. He's a young boy. He's very he would ordinarily be very fearful. Did you see any other coward boys running out there? Huh? Yes, no. No, Subal, no, Sridham. They're afraid of dark forest, any sensible person would be. So you have to be crazy. You have to be love crazed, possessed. Brahm, the symptom of intense prema is Brahm. Infatuation leads to Brahm. First infatuation, attachment, infatuation, Brahm, then mudda, maddening. These are 10 effects of Cupid in a gradual sequence described in Shastra. So become Brahm or bewildered, that's pretty high up there. Moha. So he's so bewildered that he wasn't afraid. So you must be really bewildered if you're not afraid of something frightening. Or really, a sannyasi. A real sannyasi or a transcendentalist has no fear. But he's a kid. He's a coward boy. He's not a sannyasi. He's not a yogi, a transcendentalist. He just milks cows and plays the flute. And dances with his friends. His boyfriends in the day and his girlfriends at night. He likes to dance. Can't stop. Day and night. He's a dancing god. And if you don't watch out, it'll dance into our hearts. and dance into your heart through the flute sound of his holy name and enchant you and captivate you and control you and force you to surrender and force you to give up your material life and become a devotee, servant of Krishna. It's a very dangerous dance. He's dancing a dance of Srishti and a dance of Pralaya. He dances into your heart and does Pralaya Tandava Nritya, a maddened male dance. He dances a Pralaya Nritya in your heart and destroys everything. Your attachments, your ego, your desires, and it's all gone. And then he says, there's nothing left. I'm Nirmama. Nirmama, nothing is mine. I'm Kinchan. That's okay. Now I'm going to dance. I'm going to play another tune. That was my Damshi. Now I'm going to play my Murli. Now he starts playing his Murli. Then he's dancing again in the heart. Then it becomes Srishti Lila. It starts creating a wonderful future and experience. And the spiritual world starts to manifest in your heart. And beautiful scenery and beautiful people and wonderful exchanges. You say, wow, I left that horrible world of birth and death, disease and old age. And Krishna has danced into my heart and created this whole new prospect. This divine ultimate reality, which I cherish so much, and I'm starting to see it and perceive it and feel it and taste it. Wow, he's really expert. Well, this is Krishna's dancing in the heart of his devotee. So she's arguing this. Kinkari is arguing like this. He's given up his fear. He's given up his shyness, his trapa, his kulam. Kulam means your family. And he's given up his fame, Yashoda, fame. Because he's famous. He comes from an illustrious dynasty. And then he'll become infamous. Ah, Nanda Maharaj's son. Ha! That guy's running around. He couldn't get a decent girl to marry him. Because he has a checkered career. He was busted for armed robbery and thieving when he was young, and so he has a criminal record. So there's no chaste lady in Vrindavan. They won't give their girls to him. So he couldn't find a kanya to marry. He tried his best. His father tried, and he said, "No, I'm sorry. Your son's very cute, and he plays a wonderful flute, and he has very cute antics. But really, marriage is something serious, you know." We all love your son dearly, but to give my kanya, my virgin daughter, to your son, I mean, no offense, King Nanda Maharaj, but I'm sorry I can't help you. So then he goes to another house, and everywhere he goes, they say, no, I can't. Of course, it's all arranged in Yoga Maya. So the word spreads around, hey, there's something wrong with this boy. Maybe he's a eunuch, and he can't find a wife, or it's because of his criminal record. Record of crime is called criminal record. So then what does he do? He's a normal lusty man, so he resorts to kidnapping wives. So if you're famous for being a virtuous, you're the prince, the son of the king, and you get caught stealing and trafficking in women and stuff, you're going to get a bad name. So-and-so caught in this and that. And it's in a newspaper. So he gave up his fame, Yasho, to run with the gopis, somebody else's wives. Isn't that something significant, Radharani, to consider how he's Sarvadharma and Pratyaja, surrendered everything? And he's given up his opulence. He ran away from a palace. He went into the forest. So just like anywhere in America, if you insult your father and give a bad name to your father, he's a millionaire, and you run away somewhere, he says, don't come back. Your name's I'm not putting your name on the will. Don't come back. You want to go live in the commune with the hippies and don't come back. So Nanda Maharaj can renounce his son. He says, oh, you give me a bad name. You ruined my dynasty. Parjanya Maharaj in such an illustrious dynasty and this one lousy kid and rotten son. You've ruined my whole name. Now you love to run in the forest day and night, then you just stay there and eat berries and roots. No more chapan bog. No more chapan bog. No more rubbery. No more makan. We just eat neem leaves and have a good time. So he gave up his opulence. Sri, this is being taught by the Kinkri. I'm not making anything up. A little bit, you know, purport, of course. To give you the full picture, which is also based on many other shastras also, and commentaries. It's not, Radharani says, so what, so what, so what, so what? He gave up this fear, so what, gave it the so what? She's not accepting. She's not acceding. She's not acceding to the proposal or to the plea on hand. Not submitting. And the Kinkri has to think, oh, that's not working. That argument's not working. And that argument, fame and shame. Like Arjuna had, I mean, Krishna had to think, this argument, you're not the body, their old bodies give it up. That didn't work. Well, how about this? And how about that? Then philosophy, this, that. And finally, all the doubts are removed. He's okay. Then he picked up his Gandiva and started shooting. So Kinkri, a preacher has to be sharp. Kinkri is a preacher. He's preaching in the spiritual world. Prabhupada Chan doesn't stop. Here in Kartik and there in the spiritual world, you have to preach to Radharani. I mean, that's the ultimate preaching mission. The guru trains you up to preach. And then you become liberated. Go to the spiritual world and you're Siddhadeya and you become a Sakhi Mandri or a Gopa or whatever. So then your guru Sakhi or guru Sakha, he has to train you. He trains you to preach here, then he trains you to preach. Listen. Now when Radharani's in Man, you have to preach like this. She'll say this, then you have to say that. Then she'll say this, then you have to say that. That's preaching, training and preaching. Pravachan Shiksha. Here going on, there going on. This is preaching. It says she's preaching to her. Preaching means convincing someone to change their position. Convincing someone to change their outlook. Isn't it? Is it more than that? Tamasimam Jyotirgama. You're in darkness. Let me show you how you're in darkness. Let me convince you to come out of it and why you should come out of it and how to come out of it and where you'll be when you come out of it and where you'll go when you go out of this place. This is Pravachan. Sambandha, Videya, Prayojan. These arguments aren't working. He gave up so much. She gave up name, fame, this, that. I think of something. Ah, yes. Sakhi Nivasas Twaya. Radharani, listen. You know, Krishna's Ananta Rupam, Ananta Leelam, Ananta Namam. One of Krishna's names is Sakhi Nivas, Krishna. He who lives amongst the Sakhis. Nivas means domicile, residence, place of living place, residence. Nivas. Sakhi Nivas, Sakhi, plural, Nivas, Nivasas. He lives among the Sakhis. And Radharani's going, yes. He lives among the Sakhis. That's the problem. Last night he was living amongst the Sakhis. Yeah, right. Don't remind me of that Sakhi he was living with. Yes, Kinkari. And? Sakhi Nivasas Twaya. He lives among the Sakhis, but of all the Sakhis, he only wants to live with you, Twaya, Twam. Then when Radharani hears this point, she didn't care that he gave up his name and his fame and his dharma. The Kinkri is saying he's given up all the other Sakhis, including that so-called rival, and everyone else, and he'll give them up for all time to surrender at your lotus feet, yeyatamam prapadyante, tamsataiva bhajamyaham. And become your maidservant, become your, you know, your slave. And then Radharani said, ah, okay, bring him in. So that one that turned the tide, that was the phrase that turned Radharani's heart towards Krishna and broke, that was the initial breaking of the man bhanga. So that's in this line, Sakhi Nivasas Twaya. So in line 3, this line is there. We can read this line of this verse 110. Sagadam sagadgaram udiretam. Sagadgaram udiretam subahu mohan ank shaya. Mohana kankshaya. Subahu Mohana Kankshaya. that's translated, at least in this particular book, is that then with your faltering, choked up voice, what happened was that after the Kinkari, Manjari spoke this argument, defense, on behalf of Shyam, and Radharani heard that. Then her man broke, man bhanga. And in the course of that, giving up that impenetrable wall of resistance, Radharani, in the process of abandoning that contrary mood, abandoning it, then this line describes the emotions that overtook Radharani, the different bhavas. So this verse is saying, Sagadgadam, you know that phrase from the Shikshastakam, right? What is it? Nayanam, Nayanam Galad, Ashu Galad, Gadgada. So Gadgada means my voice is all choked up. Sagadgadam, Udiritam Sabahu Mona Kankshaya. After Radharani heard this, her voice faltered and choked up out of her extremely intense desire for Mohan. So, of course, Mohan is Krishna. And Kankshaya means desire. Kankshaya means desire. So she heard about her heart melted when she heard, oh, Krishna, oh, Kinkari, Krishna's, I didn't understand it like this. You made it so clear. It wasn't clear to me before. You've actually explained Krishna gave up so much risk. He risked so much, all risk. He's given up so much and risked so much to come to me in the dead of night. Fear and Kulam and Bhayam and Yasho and Shri, all these things. Really, I never thought of it like that. He loves me so much and he's so attached to me. He'll risk everything for me as I'll risk everything for him. He'll risk everything for me. And I'm feeling intense desire to see him. So this is line 3 after Radharani hears from Manjari how much she is actually controlling. When Radharani hears from Manjari how much she, Radharani, is actually controlling her lover Shyam, she becomes overwhelmed with the desire to meet her beloved Madan Mohan. So when a voice faltering and choked with intense yearning, Radharani excitedly inquires from her Sakhi, how is that? How is that? Tell me again. I want to hear again. How is it? How much Shyam has given up for me. I want to hear again. How much has he given up for me? So Radharani wants to hear. How much have we given up for Radharani? How much have we given up? Have we given up anything? Name, fame, shame, family, money, opulence, comfort, sense gratification, objects of the tongue, physical enjoyment, tongue enjoyment. We've given up anything? How much? Katam, Aishvari. Katam, how much? And this is line. So, Madan Mohan Sri Krishna ki. Madan Mohan Mohini Sri Radha ki. Now line 4. Katam, Aishvari. This is line 4. Then it goes on. Kada mridyase. And the word in between is prahasite. Aishwari means Aishwari. Will you ever question me with your face? When? Kada. Will you ever question me with your face full of ridicule or laughing? And it's prahasita mridyase, saying, katam, how is it? My Swamini, my Ishwari Radha, when will you order me or question me? How, This phrase applies, very interesting, this phrase applies, katam katam ayishvari. This phrase applies both to Sarupavesh and Saraka Rupavesh. In other words, the author of this book, Prabodhananda Saraswati, is simultaneously functioning through two channels, let's say, through two windows. One window is his Gaur Sarup, his Saraka Sarup, as a not really, he's a siddha, but posing as a practitioner, practicing Raghunuga Bhakti and meditation as Prabodhananda Saraswati, a follower of Rupa Manjari, a Rupa Goswami, and a follower of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Then in his siddha avesh, or absorbed in his siddha deha, avesh, absorbed, entering into his siddha avesh, his siddha deha, his eternal sarup, then he identifies as one of the Ashtasakis, whom he is, Tungavidya Saki. And then on that level, he's meditating in Ashtakali Leela, seeing this particular Leela of Man, and playing a role there to serve there, and help the Leela progress, and come to a conclusion where Radharani gives up her Man, and again, peace with Krishna. So that the verse is seen on that level, but then the verse can also be seen on another level as a sadhaka, which I was pointing out. How much have we given? So in other words, Sripad, Saraswati Pad is absorbed internally in his siddhadeya as a manjari and participating and serving in Radha Madhava's Astakali Leela. And it's all going on during a deep meditation called spurti, or vision, which is like almost seeing reality. He's directly hearing Radharani ask her a question to describe Krishna's condition during her man. Like, I'm like this, you sakis and manjaris can see how I'm suffering and burning intensely in the separation from my beloved. But how does he feel? He's also separated from me. And he also loves me intensely as I love him. So I want to know his condition. How does he feel? What's he saying? What's he feeling? So then this is a report that's being given here. So that's on the internal perfection, siddha perfection, and a spiritual plane of spiritual sarup siddhi. But now we take it from, and this is taken from another view, when you take him as Prabodhananda Saraswati, as the author, as a practitioner of sadhana bhakti, not really sadhana bhakti, but as bhava bhakti, but teaching an example for Raghunuga Sadhakas, you take it on that level, then he's in his external consciousness. He's not absorbed internal consciousness in deep dhyan, samadhi, meditating on Leela and his siddhadeya. But he's come out. Oh, now I've given up that identity. Like we dream. It's not exactly the same, but when we dream, our external identity is unconscious. We're unaware of it. Man, woman, whatever. But in a dream, we're something else, or we're acting in some other way. We may see ourselves as a king, or this or that, whatever. Then we give up that identity. When we leave the dream, we give up that identity, we give up that activity, that experience, all those friends, whatever, and we wake up, oh, time to go to work. That was an amazing dream. And you tell your wife or friend or husband, whatever, this, that, oh, last night I dreamed. Wow, that's wild, you know. That's... Anyway, now go to work. Let me get home and dream again. It's more exciting. So it's not a dream, of course. It's hard reality of the advanced sadhaka to enter the Nityalila Pravishta, by strength of their bhava and prem and the intensity of their concentrated meditation. They can perceive that aprakat lila. They can see the aprakat lila, the unmanifested pastimes of Radha and Krishna, on the screen of their purified hearts during meditation. That's called spurti or vispurti or saksha darshan, different depending on the level of bhava and prema. The intensity of the experience and vision will be deeper and more profound and more realistic and tangible and touchable, perceivable. Sakshat is directly perceivable because it's direct darshan, sakshat. And the other two are in the deep reaches of meditation at the level of bhav, spurti, and a level of high level of bhav and prema is visporti. these are what's happening here. So as a sadhaka, he's an external consciousness. He's not seeing the pastimes in his meditation, but now he's praying in lamentation. In other words, when, how will I ever attain this? Because he's saying, katam, katam. He's no longer seeing Radhamata's pastimes. So he's praying in lamentation. When? Kada, kada. It's a very common word throughout Narottam Das's Prarthana and throughout all the writings of Stavavali. Kada, kada, kada. When? When will that day be mine? When will I chant without offenses? When will I see Radha and Krishna? When will I see Govardhan Hill with the eyes of my heart and tears flowing my eyes, overflowing from my eyes like the Yamuna? When will I see Govardhan Hill like that? That's a prayer in Prarthana by Narottam Das Thakur. We see Govardhan Hill. Oh, look at the monkey on Govardhan Hill. We're not seeing Govardhan through the Bob Dristi or the eyes of the heart and seeing the leelas that happened there and remembering the leelas and Haridas Varya, the greatest devotee of Hari, and Radharani's glorifying Giriraj. And we're not seeing that. So this is the prayer of the liberated souls. They're guiding our thinking. They're guiding our meditation. They're trying to change our worldview. And of course, that automatically changes as we advance to higher platforms of pure devotion. But this theme is very much there. Kada, kada, when? Hankering, anticipating. Utkantita, eagerness, yearning, wanting. When? Desire, when will I attain this? When will I attain that level? Now I'm stuck in anartha nivritti. And Madhurya Kadambini describes very clearly the different levels of anartha nivritti. Then it is, so we can see very easily key in where we are without any imagination. Are we, what level of anartha nivritti are we on? Then it says nishtha. These are the senses of anishtha, nishtita bhakti and anishtita bhakti, and the causes for anishtita bhakti. Then we say, When will I come to the platform of Nishta? When will I become free from offenses to the holy name? Aparada Gucci was that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song. Aparada Gucci Shudanama Ruchi. When I stop offending the holy name of Krishna, Dasaparadas, Namaparadas, then the Ruchi, the name will manifest its natural Nam Ruchi. Bhakti Ruchi will manifest automatically. Oh, when, kada, 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 my Ishwari, my Radha, O controller of my life, O Pranishwari Radhika. When will I see your sweet pastimes, O Manini Radha? When will I hear you asking me to describe how much Shyam is controlled by your pure love? Kada, kada, when? So this is the prayer. This can be seen as his prayer as a sadhaka. It can be seen as his meditation as a siddha, the same Sanskrit prayer. Itaspayam, itastrapa, kulam mito yesho shir ito. Hinas yakila shinkalam, api saki nivasas tvaya. Sadgadganam udiritam, sabahu mohanak, mohana kankshaya. Katam, katam, ayishvari. Prahasite kada mridyase, M-R-E-D, mridyase. When will I see your sweet pastimes as Manini Radha? So that's on that level, such a hankering he has. We hanker. Oh, when will I stop overeating? Or a hankering. Oh, kada kada. When will I stop overeating? When will I stop offending Vaishnavas? When will I stop seeing us and them and this and that mat and that mat and all these dualistic visions? And when will I, so many things. When will I stop offending pandas and brahmins? When will I start seeing them for what they really are and appreciating for what they are and being grateful? When, oh when? So we're on our own level of swimming in the through the ocean of anarthas. Rather drowning. So from our viewpoint, which is called the Adi Atmika, Atmika Vichar. There's Daivika Vichar and Bhautika Vichar and Adi Atmika Vichar. Consideration of the shloka or the lila or the tattva Leela, because Leela is imbued, and saturated with tattva. So the Leela is of itself, for itself, and by itself, as is God, of himself, for himself, and by himself. So he's relishing his own rasas in a given Leela. He's not so much worrying about conditioned souls, what they're doing. It's just a bhakti ras exchange, madhurya ras, sakhi ras. Subal, the gopis and Krishna, the gopas and Krishna. And then the sadhaka reads that, and if he's on the level of bhava bhakti, then he can also appreciate the taste of rasas there, according to the level of his own stahirati, his own eternal loving mood. And then if he's not, then he says, okay, well, what is the meaning for me? How does that adhyatmika, vichar, consideration, how do I draw down from this lila some tattva or some spiritual truth which will help me or improve me or guide me or improve my sadhana, improve my bhajan, my meditation, my achar in terms of Hari Guru Vaishnava Seva. So adibhautika vichar, these are three levels of analysis of any lila per se, Gaur lila, Krishna lila. Adibhautika means the elements of the story, the vibhav, the alamban, the vyavachari santri bhav, sattvic vikar, stahirati, then the mellow exchanges there, the nayaka, nayaka. And these are the elements and components, the place, the setting, the full moon, the sharad season, the rising full moon, the reddish moon in the beginning, the face of Lakshmi. All these are the elements, the different elements of the lila. It's all the levels. So for us, we can look at this verse, and this is my view. As from our viewpoint, as mere neophytes, infantile beginners, on the path of Rag Marg, we can relate to this one word. We can relate to this one word of this shloka. Kada. Kada, kada. And we'll finish that tomorrow.